Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
It's Air Talk on KPCC. I'm Larry Mantle. Well, the creators of Amazon's hit streaming series Bosch reached out to me earlier this year and asked me to lend my voice to a scene. I jumped at the chance. It's one of my very favorite shows. And I love not only because its deep roots in Los Angeles's places and culture connect with me, a fourth-generation Angeleno, but my grandfather, Arnold Hupka, was essentially Harry Bosch back in the 1940s and 50s as Hollywood homicide detective. In the process of recording my voice appearance, we thought it'd be great to get together members of the cast of the series, particularly as it goes into its final season, which debuts today. Earlier this week, I was joined by the creator of the Bosch character, Michael Connelly, executive producer Henrik Basten, the star Titus Welliver, Jamie Hector, who plays Bosch's partner Jerry Edgar, Amy Aquino, who plays Bosch's boss, Lieutenant Grace Billets, and Madison Lintz, who plays Bosch's daughter, Maddie. I started by asking Michael Connelly how he's feeling after seven seasons of the series.
Well, I would think almost all of us here are pretty proud of the show. We probably went further than we ever would have dreamed. I know that happened with me. Seven seasons has been pretty amazing. And I think each season, maybe even each episode, we raised the bar and met that. So it's a show I think that will stand over time for a while. And so I'm very proud of that. And the other part was that we knew going into it would be the last season, so we could write to an ending. And that was very important to us. And I think all these characters that we have on the screen today all come to an earned and valid conclusion in this season.
Yeah, for those who haven't heard you describe the origins of Harry Bosch, you're writing for the Los Angeles Times covering policing and crime in the city. How did the character come to you?
Well, he came from many directions, I guess you'd say. I mean, I came to Los Angeles as a reporter, but my secret ambition was to write crime novels. That was my goal from when I was pretty young. And this is the place to be. So I came and I observed. I did a lot of observations that had nothing to do with newspaper stories. You know, I was observing character and little things detectives do. And I was kind of like putting all that in my back pocket to the point when I thought I was ready to try writing novels. And so Harry Bosch came out of a lot of real detectives. And then, of course, a lot of the literary influences I had, most notably Raymond Chandler.
Titus, what does the character mean to you? Seven seasons of doing this character, and you'll continue with the spin-off IMDb series.
Well, the role of Harry Bosch is the greatest gift that I could ever hope for as an actor. I mean, to have such a deep character with lots of different facets, places to go and things to play, and he's a very complex character, and it was, I've never won the lottery. I've never won the big mega Powerball or anything like that. But, if I won it tomorrow, the money would be great, but the artistic and intellectual sustenance, is not matched by anything. And it's a huge gift. And it's just been to be able to realize his character over this many seasons is an even bigger gift.
Jamie Hector, your character has gone through a tremendous dramatic arc over the past season and now into the final season. Share with us what it's like as your character is really going through hell.
Well, you know what? It's a beautiful journey, right? Because like Titus shared with us earlier on, it's just wonderful to actually have this kind of material I actually sink your teeth into. You know, Jerry Edgar started off with a wife and his two boys, and by the end, he's divorced and another man is in his home. He's struggling with, he's grappling with what it's like now, killing someone, even though that person is on the wrong side of the law. And just the struggles and the twists and turns of his life and his journey is a wonderful challenge for me. It was fun playing it. It was, I enjoyed watching the character grow and develop throughout seven seasons. I got a chance to live with Jerry, you know, even his wardrobe, right? I mean, we always talk about his wardrobe, but it's a big deal, right? Because I mean, there's times that I would be on set and Amy and Titus would be there. And if my tie was off just a little bit, they would address that situation because they know Jerry is so sharp with it. But as you watch throughout this season, there are moments that Jerry enters into the scene totally disheveled, mentally, physically, spiritually. He's going in another direction. So just, you know, have an opportunity to actually live in Jerry Edgar was just truly a blessing.
Jamie, you have terrific chemistry with Titus, your two characters. And I was wondering if that's something that was there pretty early on as you were rehearsing and getting start for the first season of the series, or that's something that took a little bit of work to react to each other.
No, it didn't take it didn't take time at all. Actually, let me see. The first time we connected was at a table read. Then after that, it was at lighting, right, Titus? I think it was a test shoot that we were having. And then we
connected
immediately after that. And again, right, down to the casting and down to props to everyone that actually put the content together. The actors that they bring together actually, thank God, are professionals and we know how to work well with each other and we're not enemies. Truly, though, Titus and I hate each other.
I knew that was coming. Man, you just telegraphed that joke completely. I was waiting for it. That's why I can't work with you anymore.
I know, right? No, but that's my guy. Though. Listen, from the beginning, it was like chemistry immediately.
We're two New York guys, so immediately all of our cultural references, et cetera, were almost identical. And we also have a million mutual friends. Mm-hmm. So, and we were aware of each other beforehand, but it was one of those things where we came into the table read. We had no time. We didn't get to ride around in a car or have a meal, but I mean, I'll speak for myself, but instinctively we liked each other and we understood each other because we come from the same city, you know, back east.
You know, Michael was talking about how central Maddie is to the whole television series and how that character has been expanded larger. I think it's just one of the most effective parts of this series. You know, young women and young men are often, they're written as types often instead of as complex, fully fleshed characters. And that is not the case with Madison Lentz's portrayal of Maddie Bosch. Madison, share with us what this character's growth has meant to you as an actor to get to portray this character.
Goodness gracious, what better way to grow as an actress? I never thought that I would get an opportunity like this in my whole career. So every season, every day on set is like a blessing to me. And as Maddie grew, I think I grew as an actress as well. And I grew as a person as well. And so, what a special part of my life this has been. And Titus has heard it all the boyfriends, all the drama. So he's been really great to talk to through all of that.
What about sort of the character finding herself, you know, professionally and in relationship to her father, because her dad is a kind of larger than life figure, a legend in law enforcement. And your character is trying to find herself
in law, she's gravitated toward that field. You know, talk a little bit about how you see her trying to find her place and navigate around this father who sort of, you know, blots out the sun.
Well, I think one of my favorite aspects of the series is obviously Bosch and Maddie's relationship. And it definitely started out at first as a little bit of like conflict there between the two of them. There was a lot that they didn't understand about each other. And one of my favorite things about Maddie is as she's gotten older, she recognizes more in her father because she recognizes it in herself. And so that was prevalent a lot in season 6, and it's prevalent in season 7 as well. And so as she understands herself more, she understands her father, and in the way she grieves, in the way she processes things, in her emotions and opinions about things, all start to line up a lot with who her dad is. And I think that's really cool, and it's a testament to the writing. So very, very blessed to be able to portray that.
That's actor Madison Lynch, one of the stars of Amazon Prime Video's hit streaming series, Bosch. Stay tuned. Got more of my conversation with the cast and the creators behind the show in just 1 minute. It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. We're hearing some of the conversation with the cast and creators of Amazon streaming series Bosch. Its final season premieres today on Amazon Prime Video. We're talking with author Michael Connelly, who created Lieutenant Harry Bosch in 22 Bosch books, executive producer of the TV series Henrik Basten, and cast members Titus Welliver, Jamie Hector, Amy Aquino, and Madison Lintz. Before the break, we were hearing from Madison about how she viewed her character's relationship with her father. I asked Titus Welliver, who plays Bosch, that same question.
Interestingly enough, it kind of blossomed into something that was, you know, by design. I don't want to say it was a happy accident, but an interesting way to sort of look at it is that as a tool, that relationship, you have two people that don't really know each other. And the thing about Harry is if you go at him one-on-one, then it could go either way. But the relationship and having his child in his life made Harry more vulnerable, because now there's a way, and Mike said this to me, and I always felt like it was such a treasure chest Harry could be gotten to. And when you take a guy with Harry's skill set and you put him in a corner and you try to exploit someone that he loves in the way that he loves his daughter, it makes him vulnerable, but it also makes him deeply dangerous and very formidable. And so there's that aspect of it. And then you also have the kind of, because Harry doesn't really necessarily evolve. And, you know, he's still the same guy, but he has evolved in his relationship with his daughter. They've both evolved.
Amy Aquino, I've asked your co-stars what they think of their characters, and how do you relate to Lieutenant Grace Billets?
I adore Grace Billets. She is who I want to be when I grow up. She's honestly, she started as a wonderful, interesting, loving, tough, smart woman who's made this commitment to this very unusual profession for a woman, and is in it wholeheartedly. She's just grown over time. She's flawed. It's really what drew me to her, is how complicated she is. She hasn't really figured out her romantic life. She came to her sexuality later in life. And I like that. You get to see her working through her life. She's not your stereotypical, you know, the boss of the guy who goes off the rails and it's, damn it, Bosch, if you don't, you know, she wasn't that at all from the beginning. She was his friend. She came up through the ranks with him. She had a daughter the same age as his. she's wonderful and complicated, and I'm going to miss her.
Yeah, and elaborate on that a little bit, what response you've gotten from friends you have in law enforcement, but maybe even other women in law enforcement. Have you had contact with folks responding to the role?
I have. The greatest compliment I've gotten, and I feel so lucky, I've gotten it a number of times from the officers that we've hired for security on the set, if we're working on location, and from the Hollywood division, which happens to be my division. I live two blocks away. So like when Amy Aquino picks up the phone, Grace Billets answers it, you know, if you dial 911. It's weird. I actually have had a lot of long history with the Hollywood division here and done volunteer work, et cetera. But the great compliment that I can get is, oh my God, LT, you are the LT that we wish we had.
Henrik, I want to ask you a little bit about the challenge of filming. I know that the series, the final season came out a little bit later than earlier seasons of the series. So what effect did COVID have on the production?
It was for a long time a, what is going on? How will this, will it stop? Will it start? We were in uncertainty for a long time. We were lucky enough that we usually start our production late July. And so we had a writer's room up and running. We kind of started the writer's room around this officially became a pandemic last year. So we had some time. There were shows, colleagues of ours that got shut down in the middle of filming. And of course, we hadn't started filming. So once it had settled into the weird rhythm that became all of our lives, we made a decision that in September, we are going to start production and we're going to play it on a week by week basis. And, you know, I think no one except maybe some people working inside of hospital have done more PCR tests than this group sitting in front of you. We, you know, five times a week, we got those, which we affectionately called brain scrapers. And we had very rigid protocols with face masks that took some of the joy out of it on a very personal level. It's not, I love as a producer, I have the luxury of being able to go to set and give these guys a hug and, you know, hang out and eat a donut and drink coffee. That, of course, didn't look like that this year. But one of my prouder moments as a professional that we pulled this off and we did it safely. We didn't have anyone that got sick. We had some fantastic people working to keep us and the crew and the production safe. And I think you have seen four episodes, Larry. I think in nowhere can you feel, oh, this is the COVID version of Bosch. Like they scaled down. We only started one. And that was the big discussion we had before we started this. If we do it, it has to be as big and spectacular and looking as much as LA that any previous season have done. Otherwise, we shouldn't start. And I feel personally we pulled it off. And but it was a challenge to kind of sum it up.
And you didn't consider delaying production altogether until after a vaccine? Were you concerned if you delayed that long that there'd just be too big a gap between sixth and seventh seasons?
No, we would have delayed in a heartbeat if we couldn't have done this in, you know, some kind of safe manner. And, you know, it's always, we could have delayed it 1 month, we could have delayed it 6 months, but we felt that either we go now in September or we were going to push it, I think, 6 months. And at that point, this is kind of where COVID had settled in and before the surge. And we were done before that Christmas surge. So it was a gamble, but, you know, that's the nature of our business, that you take a gamble and we came out on top.
Let's go to some questions from members of our audience. There were a number of pieces that were written, including in the Los Angeles Times, in the wake of that police shows were essentially a problem, that the way law enforcement was depicted on screen glorified police work and police officers. And as wondering, you know, in reading and seeing commentary like that, Michael, how you responded to it.
I responded to it with a good conscience, to tell you the truth, because I think you got to look at it as a show by show thing. And I think we're an accurate show. I mean, I think we've covered these things. And to me, we're not glorifying police work. We're showing the struggles of some people that have the right moral compass going for them. But that's not enough. There's a lot of obstacles in a big city like this that get in your way. And, you know, we've shown good cops, we've shown bad cops. I think we've kind of shown it from all angles. And so, as I said at the top of the show, I'm very proud of this show. And it's not just because we lasted 7 years, it's because we have not been afraid to cover that. I remember one of the scenes I'll remember the most was when we were filming and we had a Black Lives Matter demonstration, and the real Black Lives Matter demonstrators were over at City Hall, and they saw us at the police station, and they came over because they thought they were all part of the same thing. And it was like, no, we're just, this is actually a TV show. But we're expressing some of the sentiments of your group.
Here's the final clip we're going to show, and it's just Mayor Lopez who's being driven to an appointment.
Jen, guess what? No grand jury. FBI is closing the case. Sergeant, turn on KPCC.
Yes, ma'am.
Prominent civil rights attorney and perennial thorn in the side of the city and county of Los Angeles, racking up millions in settlements, is in critical condition. Her clients have run the gamut from the so-called Black Widow, Veronica Allen, to LAPD detective Harry Bosch, to millionaire con artist Vincent Franzen.
So that was a favorite scene of mine this season. So Michael and Henrik, thank you so much, and Eric as well, for asking me to do that. That was great fun. I recorded that right in this studio, as a matter of fact. So
thanks for doing it.
That's the accuracy of LA that we're talking about.
This was a blast for me, talking with the creators and cast of the Amazon Prime hit video series Bosch. Thank them for being involved in this special program. You've been listening to my conversation with the author of the Harry Bosch books, Michael Connelly, who also created the TV series, with executive producer Henrik Bastin. And joining us, cast members Titus Welliver, Jamie Hector, Amy Aquino, and Madison Lintz. You can see the video of the full conversation at kpcc.org/in-person. We also have it pinned to the top of our Twitter feed at AirTalk. Film Week is coming up. Have a wonderful weekend.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.